Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Earlier in the service, we sang the song, Sheltered in the Arms of God. It was written by Dottie Rambo. And most of the time when we sing this song, and I find myself singing this song a lot, sometimes as I'm driving down the highway, and even though I don't have all the words memorized, I sometimes kind of hum the parts that I don't remember, but I always get blessed when I sing that song, and sometimes I find that tears come to my eyes as I begin to sing the words to that song. And I remember that on May the 11th, 2008, Sunday, Mother's Day, we were here in church and we sang that song on that particular day. And you say, why do you recall that you particularly sang that song on that day? Because earlier that morning I had just found out that Dottie Rambo had went home to be with the Lord because of a bus crash as she was on her way to a Mother's Day service down in Texas, I believe it was. And I thought that she had experienced then firsthand the words to that song. You see, they said that she was asleep on the bus, expecting to wake up in Texas and get ready for the service. But instead, she went to sleep here and woke up in the arms of Jesus. I want to just kind of go over some of this words with you again as we get into this message. Verse says, soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. That's the second verse, by the way. But then the chorus goes on. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered, safe, within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered, safe within the arms of God. We've had a lady on our prayer list for a number of years. In fact, actually, I think she was one of the first people that went on the prayer list when we put it in printed form and started inserting it in your bulletin each week. Her name was Marcy Payne. Last Sunday, when I got home from church, I went to check my email and I had an email from her husband, Rob. And Rob has a column once a week in the Tennessean newspaper in the Williamson AM section. And that's how I actually became acquainted with them. I've never actually met any of them in person. But Rob and I have corresponded over the last couple of years because Marcy was suffering from ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a disease that is so dreadful that, to my knowledge, it's the only one that the moment you're diagnosed with that disease, there is no question whether or not you go on Social Security disability. It's instantaneously granted. Because there is no treatment, there is no recovery, as far as man is concerned. And of course, our family has had kind of an interest in other people who have this disease and what treatment is being done and stuff, because my father was diagnosed with that, and I always have felt that he was fortunate because he had a heart attack about a year and a half after he was diagnosed with it. Mary's mom suffered with it for almost 10 years. And as a result of this disease, you become a person who's trapped within your body. Your mind works, but your body doesn't. Now they teach people who have this disease a form of communication with eyelid blinks because they're still able to blink their eyes. But beyond that, there's really not much they can do for themselves when they get into the latter stages of it. Not only did Mary's mom pass away from that, but Mary had an aunt who was just 2 years older than me that about a year ago also succumbed to that disease. So we kind of keep up on the subject, and Rob and I have corresponded as to what types of treatment were going on, what they thought, because they still don't really know what causes it, as to if they've come up with any new thoughts as to what can cause this disease, whether it's hereditary, if it's caused by a chemical or whatever. So we have corresponded back and forth. So I got this email last Sunday as I got home from church, and I wanted to share just part of that email with you. It simply starts, "Marcy went to be with Jesus about 7:30 Saturday morning. It was peaceful. She knew where she was going." I'll go on and read a little bit more of it. She had died before. In March 2003, Marcy had a breathing episode that took us to the emergency room and led her to being placed on a ventilator. On the table in the ER, she died, and they resuscitated her with the paddles, just like you see on TV. Weeks later, she blinked to me that when she died, she went to heaven. She saw the white light, felt an unbelievable peace, and saw Jesus. He allowed her to come back to see her kids grow up. Goes on, "From the first time I met her, I saw Marcy as a very loving, caring person. But after she met Jesus, everyone could see the love on her face and in her eyes." That's what a relationship with Jesus will do for a person. It will change you. I don't care how loving and how caring you are. When you have that relationship with Jesus Christ and you meet Jesus, it's going to make a change in your life. I have known some very good people. They were well-meaning people. They did things to help the less fortunate. I knew a man years ago. He owned an unemployment agency that I would go through to help find jobs every once in a while. Good man. But he never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've often wondered how much better a person could he have been if he had ever had that relationship with Jesus Christ, if he had met Jesus. As I was reading this email last Saturday or Saturday week ago, I had begun to think of the words again to this song, "I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God." Do we often really stop to think about the fact that as a born-again Christian, we are sheltered in the arms of God? Sheltered in His arms. Years ago, a little poem came out. Have no idea who wrote it. If I recall correctly, it says author unknown. But I remember back, the first time I heard the words to this poem was probably in the 1980s, so it's been around a while. And if you go into a Bible bookstore, or even if you get some of these mail order catalogs that come to your home, you'll see things with this little poem on it. And it's called Footprints in the Sand. And it talks about the person who walking in the sand and they see the two sets of footprints. And I can't remember how the poem goes exactly, but it comes to the point that there's only one set of footprints. And the person asks, "Well, Jesus, how come when I was going through this hard time, there's only the one set of footprints?" And he says, "It's because during that time, I carried you." He is there for us when we're going through the hard times of our life. Sometimes when people go through hard times, they wonder, Jesus, where are you? He's there and he will carry us through those times if we'll let him. And that's what some people don't really seem to understand, is we have to allow him to help us through these times. You see, we can make a decision when we get into hard times to turn our back and walk away from God. Or we can say, Father, I'm going through some hard times. I need your help. And we turn our life over to him, and that's when he will carry us through those hard times. Another line of the song goes, so let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. And in our life, we all go through some storms. We all go through, have those moments when we have those dark clouds in our life. I remember years ago there was a comic strip, and I can't particularly remember the name of it even, but they had one character in it that he always had this dark cloud that followed him wherever he went. And no, it wasn't the Born Loser. This one goes back many years ago, and I haven't seen it in years, but the character went around, and this cloud, and it was always pictured in the cartoon, this cloud over his head, and it was raining almost like on him all the time or something. Everywhere he went, it seemed like problems and trouble followed him. And sometimes we get into a situation where it seems like we've got that dark cloud hanging over our head, and there is no sunshine. There is no hope, even. We go through those times when our life seems it's filled with all kinds of trouble. And I know some of you here have gone through some situations lately where it seems like every time you turn around, it's something else going wrong. If it's not one thing, then it's another. And it seems like you just get through one situation and another one comes along. Whether it be your car, your job, something at your house, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And you say, where will it end? Where will it end? We go through storms. In the book of Mark, Mark writes in chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. And I want to read this one from you, to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, that day when evening had come, Yeshua said to them, let's cross to the other side of the lake. How many of you like to go boating? It's very peaceful. We had the opportunity a few months ago to be out on Lake of the Ozarks for 3 days. And a pontoon boat. It was nice and peaceful out there. And you enjoy watching the waves and all the things that are going on around the lake. And here they are. He says, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him just as he was in the boat, and there was other boats with them. Then it goes on in verse 37, a furious windstorm arose, and waves broke over the boat so that it was close to being swamped. Now I know one thing, I like to be on the lake when it's peaceful, but I don't want to be on the lake when it gets stormy. Because you see, I don't swim very well. And I don't want to have to find myself in the water if something happens. I remember years ago we went on a cruise up to Alaska, and we went next to the last cruise of the season. And at that time, the reason they stopped the season is because the weather starts getting bad. And we were in a large ship, a ship that normally you wouldn't even know you were plying through the waves of the ocean there. but it began to be bounced around, and the stabilizers that helped keep that ship from rocking side to side had to be pulled in because of the weather. And you were walking down the hallway, and we kind of laughed and said it looked like a bunch of drunks going down the hallway because you were bouncing off of one wall and off the other because of the way the ship was being tossed to and fro in the waves. So here they are, the disciples with Jesus, are out here in this boat. And this storm has come upon them, and the ship is about to be sunk. The waves are breaking over. The boat is beginning to fill with water. You know, one thing you don't want to be out on the lake or a river or anything else is a boat that's full of water. Years ago, and I probably told this story before, we went to Guyana. We had to cross the Essequibo River to get to the other side where we're going to meet at an Amerindian village. And they took us down to the boat. And I'll have to say my confidence in getting to the other side kind of went down when I saw this boat. They were bailing water out of the boat. And I thought it was aptly named the Full Gospel. In this case, it was full of water, though. And they were getting it out. As we're going to the other side, the waves are breaking over the sides of the little boat. And the boat's getting water in it. I tell you, I was very anxious to get to the other side. So they're here. The water is breaking over the boat. The storm is upon them. They're looking around in the natural. They're thinking, we could drown out here. Verse 38. But he, speaking of Jesus, was in the stern on a cushion asleep. They're looking. They're panicking. And Jesus is asleep. It says, then they woke him and said, Rabbi, doesn't it matter to you that we're about to be killed? Jesus, we could drown out here. It could be just moments before this ship goes down. Don't you care? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So even when we go through the storm of our life that it looks like it's all over with, if we turn to Jesus, he can speak those words into our life, peace, be still. And the storm that's about to overtake us can be calmed. And peace be brought back into our life. David writes in Psalms chapter 107, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. So whatever that storm in your life that you're going through, know that Jesus can bring peace to that storm if we will let him. If we will let him. Another line of that song is, he walks with me, and naught of earth can harm. Think about that. He walks with us. And this situation that goes on around us can't harm us. Oh, yes, it may take the body. But it's never going to take our soul. Amen. If we're walking with him, our soul is secure. It's never going to take that. And that's the part of us that goes on forever, the spirit and the soul. It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. This body may go back to dust and someday be resurrected into that new body that he talks about in the book of Revelation. But I'll tell you, we do not have to worry. If we've got him in our heart and in our life, he walks with us. And nothing that the devil himself can do to us can take him, can take us from him. Can't harm us. Oh, I tell you, he walks with us. Think about it. No matter what you face in life, Jesus walks with you. He says, I dwell in your heart. In the book of Acts, it's written about a man named Stephen. Stephen, by the way, was one of the first deacons in the church. That church that became known as the Christian church. And I know there's a group of people out there, the name on their sign says the Christian church. And so on. It doesn't matter what name you put on that door. You've got to have Jesus in your church. And I know some of them think, well, if we use a certain name, that was the first church and we're the only church. No, that's not the way it works. Because I've seen some folks that belong to what they think is the only church, and I'm not sure Jesus is too pleased with some of the stuff they've been doing. Stephen writes about in chapter 6, verse 11. You see, they weren't too happy because Stephen was just doing the things that Jesus was telling him to do, basically. He was letting Jesus walk in his life. He was letting Jesus walk beside him. And he was doing the job that he was appointed to do as he felt Jesus was telling him to do it. Some people get upset, and sometimes when you are living a Christian life and you're doing what God speaks to your heart to do, it's going to upset some people. So they got all upset. It says then in verse 11, then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. By the way, there's a group of people out there today that have another religion and they really worship another God, although they try to tell us it's the same God that we have. And they're at the drop of a hat going to say that you blasphemed. If they think it can get rid of you as a born-again Christian who has let Jesus Christ walk in your life. So it says, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Then in verse 15, and I wanted to read this verse 15 again out of the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, everyone sitting in the Sanhedrin, this is the council, stared at Stephen and saw that his face looked like the face of an angel. They saw God in Stephen's face. They saw Jesus dwelling in Stephen's heart, in his face. You know, they tell us that the eyes are the windows of the soul, and that you can tell a lot of things about a person by looking into their eyes. And that's true, you can. And they looked upon his face, and they saw something that was different about Stephen. They saw Jesus dwelling in Stephen by that glow, that look that was on his face. If you recall back in the Old Testament, Moses and his meetings on Mount Sinai, he came down off the mountain and it says, and his face glowed, his face shone so much that when he went out in public, they had to put a veil over his face because the people could not bear to look at his face. But it doesn't stop there. Stephen got to preach. Then reading in chapter 7, verses 54 and 56, again from the Complete Jewish Bible. On hearing these things, they were cut to their hearts and they ground their teeth at him. But he, being full of the rock, HaKodesh, looked up to heaven and saw God's Shekinah. That Shekinah, that's God's glory. With Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. And by the way, that's the only place in the Bible that ever says that Jesus is standing at God's right hand. Every place else, it says he's sitting at God's right hand. But you know what? Jesus was standing for Stephen. He was standing for Stephen. I tell you, sometimes I used to read that verse and I'd choke up when I'd go to read it. Because I thought, he was so full of the Spirit of God that when this point in his life came, he looked up into heaven and Jesus stood for Stephen. Look, he exclaimed, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I see Jesus. There's a song that they used to sing years ago. I can't remember all the words to it, but I know something about it. It was about Stephen. So it goes, starts off, once there was a man named Stephen. And it talks about it, where he says, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Oh, I tell you, some of those songs they used to sing in church, I tell you, when they sing them, they brought tears to your eye. You couldn't help but raise your hand and praise the Lord. I tell you, I miss some of those old songs. Praise the Lord. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Then in verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he hath said this, he fell asleep. Now, the other versions, it says he died. King James, falling asleep, many times alluded to the fact the person died. You see, they stoned him. Why did they stone him? Because he was standing for Jesus. And Jesus stood for him, by the way. I see Jesus. His last words, Father, don't lay this to their charge. He was asking for the forgiveness of those who were taking his life. So no matter what storms you face, or the dark clouds that hang over you, God will be there for you. But the question is, will you let him? Will you let him be there for you? The storm could be family problems. The type of economy we're in, not only here in the United States, but around the world, it's not good. And we've learned from experience that when there are economic problems within the home, it also causes other problems, typically. And a lot of families, it can even lead to divorce because of the economic problems, because of the fighting and the bickering that goes on how the money was spent or the money they don't have and what they're going to do. It could be family problems. It could be finances. When you suddenly have this bill in front of you that you were not expecting to have, and you say, how in the world am I going to pay that? How in the world am I going to pay that? I had some cemetery property for sale in the state of California. I had it for sale for 12 years, I think it was. 11 years at least. I think 12 years. I had it for sale. Sales fell through. Had people try to con me out of it. All kinds of things. Couldn't sell that. A few months back, a person who had inquired about it almost a year ago, I think, contacted me and said, I want to buy it and I want to buy it now. I made arrangements, had my son-in-law go pick up the check, had him rush to the bank and cash the check. In fact, actually, I think they actually paid cash, I believe, rather than a check, but got the money, was sent to me, I put it in the bank, and I thought, man, now I got a nice cushion here. About 2 weeks later, got in my car, and the air conditioner just totally fried. Told me that what happened to it doesn't happen very often, but it had to totally be replaced. The money that I had just gotten covered the cost of the repairs. Some other work that I was going to have done covered a portion of that cost as well. And I've learned over the years there are times that when you have something that's supposed to come in, some money that you're looking forward to getting, and it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come, it's because God knows when you're going to need it down the road. I had that happen when we were doing radio. There were many times, there were times I preached at churches sometimes and they took an offering from me, but they never sent me the offering. For months sometimes. All of a sudden then I'd get the offering and bang, there was a bill we had in the ministry that needed to be paid. And it was just the right amount in every case. God was walking there, looking out for us. It may seem like the trial of your life is before you. I had a pastor friend who gave me a lot of guidance back in early days of my ministry. And I know he went through some trials. Certain people in his church turned against him, made accusations against him. He actually went through a hearing within the denomination that he was in over some of these accusations. And I remember him saying, I have faced the trial of my life. It seemed like everything that he had worked for, and he was, I believe, 60-some years old at the time. It just seemed like everything he had worked for in the ministry was trying to be stripped away from him. But you know what? He let God walk beside him. God opened up other doors. Turned out, when all was over with, the people who really stood beside him went with him. And those that had falsely accused him, even though he had to leave that church, they were left with about 10 people. And that church never prospered again after that. But he went on, his ministry prospered. He passed away a few years later, but you know what? God was walking beside him. He kept the faith. And that's the important thing. Even when we're going through these trials, keep the faith because he is there with us. And maybe that trial, maybe this physical body will die from it. And maybe we'll lose, it seems like, everything that we have got. The Bible says these things will pass away. But the treasures we have laid up in heaven are eternal. Amen. He was laying up treasures in heaven. And even though he was going through that trial, and it seemed like people that he thought were his friends turned against him, he was laying up treasures in heaven. Maybe it's a spiritual battle that seems like it's going to overwhelm you. We run through those sometimes. But he walks with us. And naught of earth can harm us. For we're sheltered in the arms of God. Luke chapter 13, 34. Again, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, you stone those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children, just as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you refused. Jesus wants to gather us under his wings. He wants to shelter us in his arms, if we'll let him. But the choice comes down to us. It's the choice that we make. Will we let him shelter us in his arms? Or will we refuse? Some people said, well, and they want to blame God because maybe a loved one has died and they were lost. God, why did you let them go to hell? God didn't. They made that choice. They made the choice not to be sheltered in the arms of God. And if you're listening to me today by CD or by the internet, or what other means you might be listening to me, and you faced some of these problems that we've just talked about, I want you to know that Jesus is there for you. But the decision is yours. He can shelter you in his arms, or you can walk away on your own and say, I'm going to do it myself. I'll take care of things. The choice is yours. And I pray today that you'll make the right choice. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't have that personal relationship with him, that you'll ask him into your heart today and ask him to become Lord of your life and dwell in your heart. It's easy. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, I come to you today and I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I have not walked with you. But today I ask you to come into my life. Come into my heart. I accept the work that you did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I want to be sheltered in your arms. And you know what? He'll do it. If you come to him in sincerity and just pray a prayer that's simple as that, he'll do it. And Father, right now I just ask that whoever's listening to this message today, wherever they may be around the world, I just pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts. Let the Holy Spirit draw them unto you. And Father, that today lives would be changed, that souls would be won for Jesus Christ. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.